in the Wheelhouse Podcast.
Whoa, new intro. How about that, boys?
That's exciting.
I didn't know we're getting into Screamo.
Yeah, it's not Screamo. It's John Wick, and he's probably the most badass guy ever. But okay. Welcome to episode 11 of In the Wheelhouse, the PJ Axelson version. It's not the Saku Koivu.
Oh, it's the Saku Koivu.
It's not. It's not the Daniel Alfredson.
I don't know who that is.
Saku?
No, I know who Saku is. The first guy. PJ.
PJ Axelson? A Boston legend. No? Doesn't Boston, ring a bell? No. he kind of looked like Alfredson. My time. What? The 1997?
Four.
Oh, boy. That's the aging veteran's like
the veteran looks so old right
yeah
now.
he just aged 1 year just hearing that, but yeah, it's just gonna be a Christmas edition of the podcast in a sense. What that means, really nothing. It just, we filmed it near Christmas, or recorded near Christmas time. Actually, let's roll with the topic near and dear to Christmas, and Matthews and Marner doing the Nutcracker. What?
Someone needs to crack them the nuts after that. Jesus.
Yeah, I really feel like players from the 50s or 60s from that era would just beat the shit out of those guys.
Yeah, even on their own team.
Especially on their own team.
Yeah, it's a new day. So, like, the thing with Mitch Marner is, like, you can't hate the guy ever. Mitch Marner is a great guy. I'm sorry, but he drives smiley faces on his gloves. He's just there because he loves the game pretty much. He doesn't cause anything on the ice. He just goes out, plays hockey, and separates Austin Matthews' shoulders.
He's one of those players you've never heard anything negative about, ever. I've never, ever. His gameplay, his off-ice activity is nothing.
The guy's unreal.
Minus this Nutcracker performance.
Yeah, Nutcracker. Poor performance, 1 out of 10, would never see again. But that being said, it's pretty funny to kind of see that stuff. You got to wonder what their teammates are just going to say after and absolutely rip into them.
I would not be walking in the dressing room after that one.
No, there'll be memes for many years with those ones for sure.
And how about Roberto Luongo after Mr. Strombone with a hilarious tweet saying, maybe you can give this some rest after the next game? I think if Florida plays them next, so
they're playing tonight.
Yeah, they're playing tonight.
Matthews already has two goals.
Well, apparently he just cracked Roberto Luongo's nuts on that one. So, just shaking your head over there. But yeah, I don't know, that's embarrassing. That's all I have to say about it.
It was pretty funny though, like to watch them come out and do that.
What makes you want to do that?
Well, yeah, I've always wanted to dress up in leotards.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Cocaine, LSD, and a lot of bath salts.
Well, speaking of cocaine, did you see the Yori Laterra? He's got caught for, I think he was in possession of 10 grams or more or something of cocaine.
Is he actually caught now?
Yeah, officially caught.
So, yeah, because I remember during the summer, there was an article about how his cottage was raided up in Finland in a drug... drug bus, whatever it is, drug circle or something like that. And now he's actually legit busted for coke?
Yeah.
Wow. Life is tough for London, right?
I don't know what the teams in the NHL are going to do now. They all require cocaine.
Yeah, well, that's how you get around in the NHL.
How Mark Bergevin got those arms so big. HGH and a lot of cocaine.
Oh, boy. All right, speaking of Mark Bergevin, let's talk about Montreal here. So first topic is, we'll touch on the Mark Bergevin's trades. So let's look at Shea Weber for PK Subban. I know right now, you can say, Weber's been hurt a lot, broken foot, whatever. But PK has also been hurt. Right now, this season, Shea Weber's came back and he's looked like a stud on defense. And I think if he played at the beginning of the year, he could have been a Norris candidate. What do you think of that?
I think he still could be a Norris candidate. I mean, it's early. It's 11 games since he's been back. But even with missing the first half of the season, he's made such a huge impact on the Habs team. Although not necessarily in the way that you might think, because their power play has been awful since he's been back. But defensively, they've been so much more sound that missing the first bit of the season, if he were to keep this pace going, I think he still could be a Norris Candidate Trophy. And I don't think anyone really would still try to argue or expect anyone to say that the trade was won by Montreal. We posted that joke on our Facebook page, and a few people seemed to think that we were complete idiots. But everyone knows long-term Nashville won that one, but Weber's showing that maybe still in the right now, in the short term, that it's more of an even trade than everyone gives it credit for.
Well, that's what I thought. When the trade happened, I thought for like the first, say, 4 or 5 years, I was in favor with Montreal. I thought Weber was the better defenseman. But yeah, towards the end of the contract, it's going to be PK. But towards him being a Norris candidate, I don't think he's going to get it, just because I don't think he's going to finish the season in, say, top 10 defense scoring. And I feel like in today's day, you need to be in the top 10 to even be considered.
Yeah.
What if he was top 10 for points per game rather than just overall scoring?
I don't think it's going to make a difference.
No, it's all the numbers.
Well, Shea Weber has never really been a notable kind of point getter. He's been
getting like 50 plus points. He was a great goal scorer as a defenseman because he had a bomb.
Yeah, he has a huge cannon on D, which also breaks many Montreal Canadiens' hands.
Just one.
Yeah, just Gallagher twice.
But the thing with Shea Weber, he's like, the Norris is the defensive trophy. Like, I know lately it's just been most points for, like, Eric Karlsson's ripped up a couple just on his points for alone and like his somewhat decent defensive play. But with Shea Weber, he's an all-around good, hard player to play against. Like, when you go in a corner with Shea Weber, there's a chance where he could take your head and smash it into the boards, i.e. Henrik Zetterberg in the playoffs, like, 10 years ago when they actually played. Do you guys remember that?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he WWE'd that and just...
He's a strong man.
Yeah, he blew up his helmet too, which is crazy. But so short term right now, for this season, let's just say, because Shea Weber missed a lot of season last year, would you say Shea Weber's the better player right now, even though PK has more points?
I think Weber's the better player, hands down. I would do that trade over again. That's my opinion, but I like that trade for Montreal.
I think Weber's the more complete player. I think PK has more offensive side to him. I mean, he doesn't have the shot that Weber has, but he still has an incredible shot. But he's faster. And it's not to say that Weber's slow. Like, he gets a bad rap for not moving it well or like, being slow. He's not, but PK can fly down the ice.
Yeah, but he also blows tires a lot.
He does, and he's much more of a defensive liability.
Oh, sounds like me. Okay, let's move on to the next trade that Bergevin is. He's had a lot of one-for-one trades, but
good hockey trades.
Good hockey trades. Max Domi for Galchenyuk. When this trade originally happened, in all honesty, I thought Montreal won the trade right off the bat because Max Domi's younger. He has a lot of upside to him. He has diabetes. What's there not to love about him?
Diabetes.
But diabetes. But that being said, I can't stand the guy.
Is that because he's a Hab now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, that smile he has makes you want to put a skate right through his mouth.
I have the opposite reaction.
He's the guy that you hate to love. I know.
If he's on your team, you love him. But that trade has worked out way better than I thought it was going to.
Veteran, break it down for us.
Domi has been an absolute spark plug for that team. I think his energy, his ability to move the puck and pass the puck was a lot better than Galchenyuk. Galchenyuk, I think, was more of a shooter. And he has really good skills as well. He's bigger than Domi, but Domi plays bigger.
But what's Montreal done with Domi that they never did with Galchenyuk?
They've given him the center ice.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. They trusted him right away.
Well, the thing too with Galchenyuk, even in Arizona, when he's healthy, he's not really trusted in that center ice position as it is. So
he was put there a few times, but yeah, I think they've moved him to the wing.
Yeah, he's moved back to the wing.
So then maybe it's not just Bergevin and Michel Therrien.
Maybe it's just terrible drafting.
I don't think he really wants to play center. It came out a few years ago that he had apparently requested to be a winger and that he didn't want to play center.
When he first went to Arizona, apparently he, as soon as that trade happened, he called up Chaika and said, I want to be your number one center. So he wanted to be it when he went there. But I think being hurt at the start of the year definitely ruined some of their chemistry.
Absolutely.
Well, it's tough too because you get a new team, you want to get off to a good start and start rolling. And when you're hurt right away, it's hard to build chemistry. Yeah. then he, I think he played a few games, and now he's back out, if I remember, with another injury. So it's
been a rough go for him there.
Yeah, but watching Max Domi, like, remember him in the World Juniors, how exciting he was to watch or anything like that. And despite him never playing for Ottawa or anything like that, I've always appreciated his skills. But I also, like I said, I want to drive an 18-wheeler over this guy.
So if they put a paper bag over his head with eye holes cut out, would you like him?
It would be his father, actually.
That's a potato sack.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, next trade is Patches there. Mm-hmm. Max Pacioretty for Tomas Tatar and Suzuki. Veteran, break it down for us.
There's another one. I've been wrong on both of these ones. I was not a fan of it. I've been a huge Pacioretty fan for a long time, and I just thought that losing that amount of goals, even though he didn't score that many last year, was really going to negatively affect the team. But Tatar's come in.
Tatar!
I didn't realize he's actually as good as he is. Yeah. I didn't watch him enough. He's
Thomas Tatar?
He's a very good player.
Well, he also was traded from Detroit to Vegas for, I think, a couple first-round picks.
Yeah, it was two firsts, a second, and a third.
It was crazy amount. Yeah, like,
ridiculous. Well, like, that's way overpaying for a rental player.
Definitely.
And
well, I think that it wasn't a rental. He was signed for like 5 years or something.
Well, technically.
So they intended on keeping him. He just as soon as he got traded there, he didn't fit in the roster. They didn't like him. He's a healthy scratch.
And the fact that Montreal is able to get Nick Suzuki, future NHL, probably decent hockey player. We'll see how he does in this World Juniors coming up, which I just thought about now. We should do a World Junior podcast.
Yeah, we should definitely do one.
All about Team Switzerland.
Definitely.
But that being said, like, Bergevin made one hell of a deal. Like, once again, I honestly was on Bergevin's side on this trade too, because I saw what they traded for Pacioretty, who was, what, MIA last year?
Yeah, absolutely. Just, I think he folded under the pressure.
Yeah, it's...
The big thing too is Pacioretty can come back at the end of the season. He's a free agent, isn't he?
He won't come back to Montreal.
No, he signed with Vegas.
Oh, yeah, he did sign. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's a healthy scratch sometimes, too.
Well, he's injured again.
Yeah.
He's been injured three times, I think, this season.
But the past couple of games, hasn't he gotten... He's been almost a goal per game for the past couple weeks, so he's finally kind of stepped into it. But even when he was playing at the beginning of the season, I think Stastny was hurt, so I don't know who he's playing with on that second line. But
they rotated a bit, but he's always like that. Like, he'll score right away, which he did for Vegas, then he won't score for 10, 12 games, and he'll still end up over 30 goals for the most part. But apparently, too, Bergevin, his main thing in that trade was to get Suzuki, and he wasn't even really after Tatar. Tatar was apparently on Vegas's side.
Well, I'm surprised that Ottawa couldn't pull off that trade for Suzuki. Like, if you have Eric freaking Carlson.
What do you mean? You stole that trade with Carlson. Like, San Jose just way overpaid.
For what he's doing.
Well, he's also...
I think he's on like a 15-game point streak right now. Carlson, yeah, he's been slowly, quietly...
Well, he should be, because San Jose is actually a very, very good team. But, actually, staying on the topic of Montreal, Carey Price, will he ever get a 300th win?
I think he might next season.
Can you imagine he Corey Schneiders it and never wins a game?
That would be very disappointing.
Yeah, and Corey Schneider now will not get any wins... Until 2 years from now. Yeah, 2 years from now, whatever it is, because he's now IR'd for the rest of the year. What happened with him?
Corey Schneider, I think he pulled his groin, if I'm not mistaken, but it's going to be in a couple weeks, so he's officially going to go a whole calendar year without winning a game. Which is kind of pathetic.
Have you seen some of the goals he led against? Like, one game, I think three of his own teammates scored on him.
I know, I was watching that one, and then someone made him look stupid in the shootout, didn't he? To lose the game?
No, it was probably me.
I highly doubt it.
I am that good.
You would have just shot it at the crest.
But yeah, Corey Schneider, kind of terrible luck on his part, but at the same time, like, he's their number one goalie, and he's not even winning.
He hasn't been his number one goalie for a while. Kincaid stole it last year, and Kincaid's looks like he stole it again this year.
But I think, isn't New Jersey, like, last in the league right now, or near the bottom?
They're close to it, I think, as close as Ottawa.
Yeah, I don't think that Taylor Hall first season Magic's going to be going round two, because they're firing. Nico Hischier's kind of dropped off a bit, too.
Yeah, bad enough that I traded him.
I thought he was going to have a really good season.
So did I. After that last year, I thought two of them were going
to
be
first overall pick. You kind of expect him to be a solid player, but it's the sophomore slump. It always happens. Like, it
Brock Besser. He's doing great again, too. He's a
worker. I know, but, like, towards the start of the season, yeah, he wasn't doing too good. And Elias Pettersson, you never know.
That's because he was giving Pettersson his time to shine and make sure that Pettersson won the Calder and not Brady Tkachuk.
Exactly. Actually, I just saw about this off the top of my head. Have you guys heard about Jeff Carter's situation, how... they're saying that
if anyone wants to get traded, it's going to be him.
Well, no, if he gets traded, he's going to retire right away. And so LA's going to keep the salary cap.
Really?
Yeah. So he's saying, like, no, I want to stay in LA. If you trade me, I'm going to retire so you won't even have me available.
Yeah, but he could retire because what's he got left that he has to do?
Yeah, I see. He's over 35 now, I think, is he? Or under
it? No, I think he's still under 35. I think he's maybe 32, 33. He was the 03 draft. So what... How old is Weber?
Weber's 33.
So he's 33 then. He's
mid-90s. but yeah, no, I just found that kind of funny. They've been talking about it as part of like the trade bait, but Jeff Carter won't move anywhere. Because when he was in Philly, he was told, yeah, we're going to sign you to a long-term deal. You're going to stay in Philly for a long, long time. Then boom, traded to Columbus.
No, loved it there.
Yeah, absolutely loved it.
The team locked him out of the dressing room.
Exactly. And Jack Johnson's family draining his bank accounts while he's there, too. What a terrible...
Shit show.
Yeah. And then he goes to LA, where LA's like, yeah, we're going to sign you for a long term. You're going to stay here. Now LA's kind of like, no, like...
We suck.
We might flip you for the team. And Jack Carter's like, no, I love it here in LA. My family loves it here. If you trade me, I'm retiring, so no one wants me. So I guess technically Jeff Carter has the ultimate trump card and I can retire whenever I want, so you can't get any value out of me.
I think it's more just of a threat, though. I don't think he would actually retire. I feel like if you're a hockey player, you want to play hockey. You're not if you can keep playing, you're going to keep playing.
Especially over 30.
Exactly.
When it really could end at any point.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the thing on TSN where they're talking about, well, TSN's like the Canadian, like ESPN kind of thing. Where they're really talking about
except better.
Yeah. I think Datsyuk wants to come back.
He wants to come back.
Yeah. Which the whole thing is kind of ridiculous because I don't know if you saw like the article or anything like that. It's basically like, well, we've never actually talked to Datsyuk about going to the NHL and they still made a report on it, so this has worked well for Kovalchuk, so hopefully Daksu falls right behind him.
If he comes back, if he wants to come back this season, he's the rights are owned by Arizona, so who knows?
No, he's not. Yeah, that's why he's going to hold out until next year, so he can sign whoever he wants to if he comes back to the NHL. Signs a 10-year contract with LA for...
Comes back, signs a league minimum with the Capitals, gets another Stanley Cup. Seems like a good deal to me.
Or the Penguins.
Shut up.
Hear me out. What if Datsyuk comes
in? No, he's not going to the Senators.
To
Montreal.
To Washington. And Ovechkin leaves to go back to Russia.
One for one swap out.
I don't like the sound of it. That's the next topic.
Well, Ovechkin, he can't score anymore. The guy's terrible. Like, what has Ovechkin done?
He's only got 29 goals in like 33 games.
But he couldn't score last night, right?
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, it's done. All that gray hair.
His hair's way too gray. He's now the aging veteran.
Yep.
Sorry, aging veteran. You're no longer that title.
That's okay. Okay.
Let's switch teams here. Actually, we kind of segued into it, but Philadelphia firing Ron Hextall twice in one day, in a sense.
Well, the first one wasn't official.
Yeah, it was. Reports show that Hextall's been fired. Philadelphia tweets out.
Just kidding.
Just no. He's still our head coach. He's fine.
He's our coach.
Yeah, he's our coach. T minus 30 minutes later, Ron Hextall's been fired. Well, that's awkward, folks. what do you guys think of that? And rookie sensation, 20-year-old Hart.
Carter Hart.
He has a lot of heart this game.
Had a great game the other night. I think he only let in 2 goals. If you saw his mom crying quite a bit in the stands and jumping around. But towards the coach being fired, I'm on board with that because with all the weapons on that team, it's kind of sad that they're not winning.
Well, JVR has been kind of a bust since going back to Philadelphia. He's been hurt a lot. He was hurt for the first couple months in Philly, but that being said, he was a 36 goal scorer, I think he was,
last year
in Toronto.
It's okay. It's not like he's signed for very long. I think it's only 7 years at $7 million.
It'll go by really fast.
Yeah,
it'll go by fast. And also, there's been a lot of quote unquote trade talk, quote unquote, Toronto media saying that Wayne Simmonds could be on the trade bait board for Toronto's list.
I think Simmonds has been on the trade bait for years now.
Why would a team not want Simmonds? That guy's an unreal player.
It's because he's signed for so little right now, and he's going to want a lot. I can see him getting 7+, and he's only making 3.
He's on the second line, too, and he's playing with Jacob Voracek and Sean Couturier. Like, that's an unreal line, mm-hmm. which is a banging line, too.
Where's JVR playing? Is that third line?
Yeah, he's a third line. I think he's on the first power play unit, but he should be on the third line. I think Tyler Toffoli is on the first line, if I remember, but
Toffoli's on a different team.
JVR is on different the 67. Second power play unit.
Oh, really, eh? Sorry, I meant Travis Konecny. Sorry, I was thinking of a different Ottawa 67. But yeah, Philadelphia, like, they should be doing a lot better. But if you look at their blue line, they got Raku Gudas.
I love their blue line. It's all young and
offensive.
Provorov,
whatever his name is.
He's proven himself?
He's not doing well right now. He started picking up last year, right? And
he was amazing last year.
Yeah, and also the Ghost. The Ghost has dropped off also. He's become a ghost. Ooh. But with that power play, with Provorov, and Gus to be here.
It's their goaltending. If their goalies can't make a save, their players can't score.
Are you saying Brian Elliott cannot make a save?
I am saying Brian Elliott cannot make a save.
Veteran, what do you think of Brian Elliott?
Past his prime.
When was his prime? That's the question.
Yeah, it's a very good question.
2 years ago.
Has Jake Allen been playing well lately?
No.
Oh, boy. St. Louis.
St. Louis, I think, is sitting at the bottom of the standings right now, aren't they? Or close to it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's the Anaheim goalie again?
It's John Gibson.
John Gibson's having a really good year. I don't know how he got to John Gibson, but John Gibson's having a great year, by the way, people.
Can you imagine if the Leafs ended up with him instead of Anderson? I don't know. Did you guys see the post I made the other day about the trades that the Leafs made with Anaheim that actually kind of looks bad now?
It's really cute that you think we read your posts.
I know. Yeah. It's really sweet. But one second. I'll find it.
Please explain it to us.
Just give me a minute.
Oh, we have to search this?
Yeah.
I need to find it.
Well, no. We're doing a podcast.
Yeah. Well, you guys talk.
We'll talk. So yeah. with the coach firing, I don't think there's an issue with firing your coach if you feel like you need to shake things up on the team, but to do it that way and to make a media statement saying no and then to follow up by that's a joke.
That's embarrassing. Absolutely. Like, especially for the coach. That's almost like what's-his-face, Carolina's coach now coaching
Bill Peters.
Vegas.
Oh, Carolina's?
Yeah.
It wasn't Carolina's, it was Florida's.
Oh, with the Chicken Caps? A taxi cab?
Yes,
Florida. No, they're playing Carolina. That's what it was.
You're talking about Gallant?
Yeah, Gerard Gallant getting fired and saying, no, you have to take a taxi to the airport, find your own way home. You're done here. You're cut.
There's, again, things that used to not happen in the NHL.
No, and they're saying that Joel Quenneville might take over, but there's been no confirmed, so I don't know where people are getting this from.
I think their interim coach right now is sticking on for the rest of the year, and then...
Yeah. The Hextall combo is done, so no more stalls in the league. stalling their progress of Philly.
So I found it.
Oh, you found it.
So in 2011, the Leafs drafted Tyler Biggs, 22nd overall.
Yeah.
Total bust, and they traded up to get to that pick. So they had the 30th overall pick and the 39th overall pick. Those picks turned into John Gibson and Rickard Rakell.
Interesting.
So that was a pretty bad bust. And then,
risky maneuver.
Yeah, and then so to get a goalie, they traded where was it?
I don't know.
They gave up a first and second round pick to get Frederick Anderson, and those picks turned into Sam Steele and Maxime Comtois. who I believe Comtois is...
He's playing for Team Canada this year in the World Juniors.
So...
You know what's actually a pretty terrible draft? What draft was it? What draft was Kersel Zahr drafted in again?
I think that was 2012.
2012? It's one of those drafts. I was looking at it earlier, and it's terrible.
It happens.
Well, I guess it's just such a weak pool, that one. But yeah, okay. We'll change topic here because I don't want to be sitting here Googling stuff while we try to figure it out. But what do you guys think of Edmonton? The fire Tom McClellan. Bring in
Ken Hitchcock.
Yeah, the Ken Hitchcock, the defensive genius. I don't know if he's a defensive genius or not, but
just one thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking about that draft round being a bust. I mean, come on, Yale the number Yakupov. One pick. Like, yeah,
I'm still in the minority that would have given Yakupov a chance. I still think there's some skill to go around there. I think he just needs to be put with two guys who can cover up for his lack of defense, like. Putting him with a Jonathan Toews or a Patrice Bergeron, just who is really good defensively and then can just fire the puck to Yakupov to play offense.
And let him do his thing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So kind of going back to this, now that I pulled it up here. Like after, I would say, this Nikita Zadorov?
Nikita, where?
Zadorov. Anyways.
Where? Which pick here?
Just above Kurtis Lazar.
Nikita Zadorov, yeah.
Yeah, there's been no one else in the NHL like in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh round.
Don't put look at.
I was just pointing out that Washington drafted Philip Forsberg.
Oh, that was a good pick. But they also drafted
Tom Wilson in that draft. It was a great draft.
No, the other Russian guy that plays for you guys. He was drafted later.
Talking about Kuznetsov?
Nope. It starts with a B.
Burakovsky is Swedish.
Burakovsky.
That was 2013 or 2014.
That's the same draft.
Nope.
No?
Nope. No. It was, I'm pretty sure it was the year before McDavid. So it was a 2014 draft. No. But which draft are you looking at right now? You're looking at 2012?
2012.
Oh, I was looking at the 2013 draft.
Oh. Anyways. Is that where Lazar was?
Yeah, that's where Lazar was. Because it goes McKinnon, Barkov, Drouin, Seth Jones, Lindholm, Sean Monahan, Darnell Nurse, Rasmus Ristolainen, Bo Horvat, Nikita Natushkin.
So if you want to look at the redraft I did for that one, which grabbed all the like the players from the later rounds.
Oh, well.
It breaks my phone.
Geez. Yeah,
oh,
there you go. God. All
right,
let's.
That's his response right there.
That's why I think of that.
Smack.
Okay, let's put away the phones. But yeah, so Edmonton Oilers are turning it around right now. They brought in Ken Hitchcock, and they've gone 8-2, I believe, in their last 10.
Yeah, but they're on a 2-game losing streak. I think that's over now. It's like, they're done.
Flash in the pan.
Yeah.
No, like I do think they are turning around. They need to find a like they. I know they found a decent goalie now, and whatever his name is, so you just can't tell.
I feel like you right now.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. Cam Talbot couldn't save a beach ball to save his life. They need to add a couple more defensemen, some solid D on that team, and one winger to play with McDavid.
Man, they got Alex Chiasson.
Yeah, Alex Chiasson.
Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, Stanley Cup champion. Gets no team wants to sign him after winning the Stanley Cup and playing solid minutes in this for like.
No.
Solid.
He was a healthy scratch for most of the playoffs.
No,
he got his name on the cup.
He did.
And exactly. He's good.
He's good.
He scored one big goal in the Stanley in the finals, I think.
Yeah, he's on a PTO and made Edmonton. And he's got the gift of Christ and is now playing with McDavid.
Didn't he get a big hug from Ovi before they played as well?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
During the, like, the... Like, so what Washington did, for those who don't know, every player that was on that team before, they brought them into the room after, present them the ring, and Ovechkin gave, like, Chiasson a big hug. Big Stanley Cup winner, Alex Chiasson, but...
Well, he scored the... To beat the Penguins, he scored the one goal in the game besides Kuznetsov's overtime winner. I think that's the last time he really actually got into the lineup.
Well, then maybe without him, you never know.
I know. We lost to Pittsburgh again.
But do you think that Edmonton, with new coaching, can turn around, save their season? Which is right now they're in the first wild or second wild card spot, whatever you want to call it.
At the moment, I don't think they're deep enough. I don't think they have it.
Like, so what do you think they need to add, though? That being said, okay.
They need to add everything. Their lineup is so thin that they just need some more depth. They need someone who can play with McDavid that's not named Chiasson.
Is that Chiasson?
Chiasson. But
well, like okay, that's I understand that, but how many people do they need to add? Is you're just giving me they need this and that. I need like what's the hard facts here?
If I was them, they should be in a win now mode and trade players like Yamamoto and Puljujärvi for people like Anthony Athanasiou. Get some fast people to skate with McDavid, some people who can keep up with them.
But do you think that at this point, Puljujärvi or whatever his name is, the big Finnish guy, is even worth anything?
Yeah, he's only 20 years old. He's still worth quite a bit. It's just some people take longer to develop than others. Like, look at Hoffman. Hoffman was, what, 26 when he finally came into the league and became something?
It's true. And now he's just ripping it up in Florida.
Do you think they should try to trade Lucic but retain some salary to actually get him out? Because he's dropped to the fourth line now.
If they're going to have to retain a lot of salary, I would just kind of maybe keep him, because if they're going to retain salary but take someone else on, they're, I don't know. As a third line, I think he'd be a solid third line guy right now, but he's too slow. So
it's too slow, absolutely.
If they could trade a pick and get rid of his whole salary to a rebuilding team like Montreal.
What do you mean? Montreal's win now. Weber's back.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, if they could get rid of his whole contract but get rid of some assets to get rid of him, that was what I would do. But other than that,
just hang on to him.
Do you think they should just trade McDavid? Wayne Gretzky traded.
Yeah, get rid of him. I think they should undo their Hall trade, and who knows, maybe a good fast skater would have played good with McDavid.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah,
Adam Larson's been unreal for them. Dead silence. Okay, well, that concludes our holiday edition of the podcast. Stay tuned. We will be releasing some content on the World Juniors and up-and-coming superstars in their early teens. Late teens, I should say. They're not 16, except for some of them. But yeah, if you guys have any closing comments or things you want to throw out there?
Go Caps.
Okay.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody.
Okay.
What if I'm Jewish?
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
I think Hanukkah's over.
Yeah, it is over. It was already.
Wow.
Now it's awkward.
Yeah. Very awkward. We're going to leave it there, folks.
Yeah, exactly. All right, everyone. Enjoy your holidays. Drive safe. Party safe. Wheelhouse out.